Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. I'm John Norman, and alongside Jarrah Kimber, looking back at all the action from day five at the Aegeus Bowl and the first test match of the summer between England and West Indies. We're going to be reflecting on a quite historic day for the West Indies as they managed to chase down 200 and go 1-0 up in the series. Plenty of discussion, plenty of talking points, and it's only 3 days until the second test match, so that may even get a mention as well. You're listening to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. Well, no doubt you know by now that it is England who will go to Old Trafford 1-0 down in the series after a combination of good batting from Jermaine Blackwood and some pretty awful fielding from England allowed West Indies to chase down 200, losing just the 6 wickets on the way. 95 for Blackwood, running just 5 short of what would have been his second Test century. 37 from Chase, and plenty of support along the way, really. All this after they were reduced to 27 for 3. There will be questions. Some of them will pop up in this podcast, I'm sure. But let's look back at the match and the day as a whole.
Story of the day.
Well, I suppose, Jarrah, that if the batting let England down on day 2, the bowling let England down on day 3, it was the fielding that let the bowling down on day 5, and you don't win many test matches when you fall short in so many different aspects of the game.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, if you're trying to defend 200, you don't really want to combine bowling no balls with dropping catches and missing multiple run-out chances, do you? So I think when it comes down to it, I think England going to have to have a good look at themselves and try not to make all those errors every time they play from now on in, especially in 200 chases. I think that if they break that partnership early on, honestly, there's still a pretty good chance of winning the game from there. And the fact that they didn't break it in so many spectacularly new and unusual ways is entertaining, unless you're an English cricket fan, which you are.
Yeah, I mean, let's look back at it. The score was 27 for 3 when Blackwood came to the crease. Essentially for 4, really, because Campbell had retired hurt. And just to list all of the errors, Blackwood was dropped on 5 at first slip by Ben Stokes. A relatively tough chance, but only because he's that's the thing. If he'd stayed where he was and just took the catch, but essentially he was preempting where the ball was going to go before the ball had hit the bat, which doesn't usually work. Then he was dropped on 20 by Jos Buttler. And this is a point we'll go back to because, you know, you can fail with the bat every single innings and not get dropped. But if you drop a catch on day 5 and you're a wicketkeeper, that's not allowed. And that was a simple chance. Well, not a simple chance. Came off the glove and kind of died on Buttler diving to his left. But he should have taken it. And then there was a really strange one where he was dropped on. Well, he wasn't actually dropped by Rory Burns at Gully, who's pulled off some absolutely brilliant catches. But Rory Burns didn't see the ball. It must have gone a yard to the left of his face, and he didn't actually get his fingers to it. Strange one. And then there was a missed run-out opportunity as well. This was probably the worst of the lot. It was Ruston Chase. He dropped the ball into the covers. He ran through. Blackwood said no. Chase carried on running. And then Blackwood would have been out, all ends up. But Crawley He could have gone for the ball two-handed, but he went for it one-handed, possibly looking at the wicketkeeper or Butler running in. Anyway, missed the ball. It was ridiculous, to be honest. And there was another couple of run-outs towards the end of...
Half chances.
Yeah, half chances. But that's enough, isn't it? That's enough. Yeah. The guy, I don't know... I mean, the guy's essentially won the game for West Indies and will be lauded, rightly so. And I heard Michael Holdings lauding him, but he should have been out.
Yeah, but that happens. I mean, there's very few chanceless innings. And also, we focus on the catches that are dropped and the missed runouts and the no ball and all those sorts of things. But actually, quite often, you know, I mean, the average test batsman makes about 8% of the balls he faces, or I think it's between 8 and 12% of the balls he faces, he makes an error on, right? And so sometimes you can make all those errors and just not hit a catch to someone. So you can hit lots of edges. Joe Denley hits way more edges than other batsmen, but he doesn't hit as many catches for whatever reason. So those things all happen. That's all part of the game. And you've got to take your chances. He was out there for a long time. How many times did he play that silly uppercut up in the air and it didn't go to anyone? Sometimes that happens. You know, it's a bit like Botham. Two of the most famous innings I could think of that had a lot of luck. You know, Botham in the confectionery stand. You know, he probably tried to play that innings a bunch of times in his life, Botham, and went out for 12. And Harmanpreet Kaur, when she changed women's cricket forever, she basically just kept hitting either side of deep mid-wicket. Sometimes these things happen, you know, that's how it goes. But that's down to England as well. We all know you have to create more chances than 20 to win a test match. To be fair to England, they created their 20 chances probably. They just didn't take them.
Another story of the day for me, I don't know about you, was the fact that, you know, when England really needed the wickets, when the series, when the match was absolutely on the line, coming out after tea, Ben Stokes didn't turn to Jimmy Anderson. He turned to Wood and Archer, and then he called upon himself. Am I reading too much into that?
I think he thought the extreme pace would do more. I mean, I think if we've learned anything about Ben Stokes in this test match, he likes quick bowling more than he does fast medium bowling. Probably because he doesn't rate fast medium bowling and medium fast bowling as a batsman. I mean, you could see him running down the wicket to Kemar Roach. We've seen him do it for years. Vernon Philandery did it too as well. Quite often, captains captain based on what they're good against. I've had this conversation literally with captains, you know, when I've worked with teams before, going, but you're really good against spin. That doesn't mean that everyone else is really good against spin. And I think we saw a bit of that with Stokes' captaincy there. Also, the ball was reversing, and you do go sometimes to your quicker bowlers in that air anyway. But to be fair, Jimmy Anderson's pretty good, and I might have thrown him the ball. I might have thrown in the ball from one end and gone with two or three quick over spells from the other end. The West Indian batsmen were jumping around though, so there was plenty to encourage Stokes. I'm not sure that I mean we definitely have read too much into it because I'm now on about 3 minutes into talking about it. But it was a thing that happened, John. You can't deny that.
You know, at one point when West Indies were really struggling, 30-odd for three, and, you know, Campbell's back in the hobbling off. And I'm thinking, are West Indies really going to lose this test match that they have played so well in, essentially in a session? And the answer was no, because they remain true to their principles. I'm not sure I ever got to the stage where they just thought, I'm just going to have to throw the kitchen sink at everything. You know, maybe if they lost another wicket before, like maybe if Blackwood had gone, actually, you know, maybe they're 60 for five, you would have seen West Indies revert to type. And but it didn't happen. And credit to them, because they have played some incredibly disciplined cricket in this test match. And they continue to do so today, even though they were up against it. And you know what? In the end, and really, from about the point of, I'd say, 65 for three, 70 for three, it was pretty comfortable.
Yeah. I think when you've got a flat pitch and a 200 chase, and you also know that your tail is, you know, other than Gabriel, they actually have a lot of respect for their lower order from six down, really. I think once you get to that point, I think what you start to do is you start to go, well, now it's ours to lose as long as we just keep playing sensible cricket. And to be fair, Blackwood played some silly shots at times because that's how he scores. He doesn't have the normal game of a test player. He's going to always have to take more risks. It's why his average will struggle to ever go much above 35. So all those things play into it. But a lot of the other guys are not like that. That's not their natural game. They have a lot more to them. Djuric could block all day if you wanted to. He has some slight technical flaws as well, but he can play that way. I've seen Jason Holder play some incredibly sort of dour innings at times. You know, Craig Brathwaite, not today, but he's another batsman like that. So they do have those sorts of batsmen in there. I think that we sometimes, we do this with Pakistan and we do this with West Indies. Every now and again, a Pakistan or a West Indies batsman will be really exciting when we are, oh, that's the way they bat. I mean, Chandrapal proved to us an entire career of not doing that. And they've had a lot of very dour players probably since they've been great. And so I don't think we should be surprised at that. Also, this is clearly Jason Holder's message, isn't it? We are going to stick in there and grind out victories with a bat or with ball. So, you know, all fair play to them. They stuck to that again.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we were talking about the experience of the bowlers yesterday. I think that this West Indies side is A, playing for its captain. It's got experience with the new ball in Roach and Gabriel. Experience with the captain, Holder, who's been there for quite some time. Yes, it's a bit of a dodgy-looking batting order, but you show me one in world cricket that isn't. But essentially, this is a team that's actually getting used to beating England because they beat England last year. And you know what? I had a quick look back at that scorecard from 2015 when they were set about 170-odd. There's five players in this side that played on that day. And you know what? Blackwood, he scored 40-odd on that day as well to take them home. And Blackwood also scored 40-odd, I think, at Headingley in 2017. So
he also gave it away in, I think, all three of those as he was helping the team. So he's got a form guide against England, which is batting really well. And did he not make a big score when they beat England in the West Indies two tours back as well? I think that might have been, if that wasn't when he made his 100, I think he made runs in that chase as well when Butler might have missed a stumping quite early on, which I think might have even been Blackwood. So, yeah, look, a lot of these guys were picked before they were ready. A lot of that is to do with T20 cricket because a lot of their board basically made a huge error and got rid of all their best players when they could have struck much better deals with them, which meant that Brathwaite and Hope and these sorts of guys all were thrown in before they were ready. But you now look at Blackwood. He's got 100 first-class games to his name. Djuric is now an experienced international cricketer. These guys have now started to build themselves up. They might have been thrown in. They might have had to play some terrible cricket for a long time. That's no longer the case anymore.
Moment of the day.
Well, no doubt what the moments of the day really were from an English perspective, those drop catches. You know, aside from the Blackwood drop catches, which we've already listed, Djuric was caught from a no ball. And there was a close run out for Jason Holder as well. That's always going to hurt you no matter what score you're chasing. Another big moment, I alluded to it earlier, was Jos Buttler dropping Blackwood. The umpire gave it leg byes, but Stokes knew that Blackwood had gloved the ball. He absolutely would have reviewed that decision if the umpire had given that as not out, and it would have been overturned. And Butler, we spoke about him yesterday. You know, he was questioned about his batting, but he's also not actually ever really proved he's a keeper at test level either.
Yeah, I mean, Crookvis put up a stat saying that he hadn't dropped a catch, but he also hadn't had as many catches come to him as you would have expected in that time. He also hasn't kept up to the stumps as much for a lot of catches, which is generally where the wicketkeepers do fumble them. I mean, to be honest, moment of the day is West Indies coming over into the bubble and winning a test. I mean, that is the moment of the day, isn't it? By a long distance.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the fact that, I think, again, we spoke about this a few days ago. Remember the test series, I don't know, about 6 or 7 years ago when Chris Gayle rocked up the day before the series because he'd been playing in the IPL and, you know, they got hammered. They've been here for a month. I know 2 weeks that was quarantine, but you can see, just like Pakistan in 2015, when teams come over here and they put in the preparation, it pays off. And you've got to say, and I would be interested to hear what Stokes has to say, but it seemed to me that it was the West Indies who seemed more switched on in this test match.
I mean, that's interesting. I think they got the best of the conditions. Had it not rained on day one and it been overcast for the first 2 days, be very interesting to see what would have happened in this game. Sometimes those things just happen.
But Stokes did choose to bat. He won the toss. That was, do you know what I mean? So that isn't even the best. And Holder said he was surprised by that as well at the time. So, you know, that was an error.
I'm not saying that wasn't an error, but my point is that if, let's say, it just stayed overcast and didn't actually rain, it would be a completely different test. You know, West Indies might still have won, but it would have been a different test. So I think that you have to factor those sorts of things in as well. But, you know, on a very real thing, Cricviz put up something recently where they looked into the amount of practice games that teams have in countries and whether that has changed it. But the problem with what they've looked into was how much of those practice games are not proper practice games anymore. And also the fact they're only looking at the modern era. We know that in the old days, teams were properly acclimatized. And that's what you're talking about, getting used to the weather, getting used to the pitches, the conditions, the kind of cricketers that you're going to go up to, all those sorts of things. Quite often, you can't do that in modern settings at all. Realistically, though, if a team properly gets together for a month before a test series, whether they're acclimatizing or not, they're going to be in a better situation. And that's what Pakistan did. And that's what West Indies were forced into doing. And we've seen that a lot. I saw Australia won the first test in India a couple of years ago when they went over. They almost stole that series because they won that first test. They did so much work beforehand in the UAE and getting specialist coaches in and all that sort of stuff in. It makes a difference.
Any other moments of the day?
I mean, West Indies won. That is the moment of the day. What are you searching for here, John? West Indies came to England and beat England in a test match. That is the moment of the day.
Isn't that the story of the day?
Okay, it's that too.
Is it the shot of the day?
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Shot of the day.
I've got two shots for you, both by Jermaine Blackwood. And one was just before tea, you know, kind of time traditionally when teams are trying to bunker down. And Jimmy Anderson's brought back into the attack. You know, the bowler who'd probably become the first and possibly only paceman to take 600 wickets. Third ball of his second over. And Jermaine Blackwood absolutely drills a straight drive over the head of mid-off. And it goes away for four. And I think for the first time ever, I just thought, is Anderson showing his age a little bit? It was so disdainful. It was a brilliant hit. And then he did exactly the same thing after tea, this time off Mark Wood to move to 80. And yeah, and then he got out doing the same shot again. So, you know, that's just how it goes. But they're my shots of the day.
I don't think I've ever seen a batsman who mid-off is more of a catching fielder than Blackwood. I mean, it's a phenomenal thing. You know, having followed his career for, 4 or 5 years now. And also, you know, he doesn't play CPL. It's incredible. We watch him play these shots. And
what?
We go, he doesn't play T20 cricket. I don't think he's played a T20 game at the top level since 2015.
Why?
Well, basically, when he first started, he was a terrible white ball cricketer. And then he got a reputation as being a red ball cricketer, which is fine. All signs point to the fact he would slap the white ball around, though, John. I don't know. Could just be me. But, yes, he's this phenomenal character. Because of that, he just becomes so great. And he does have one of the best hand-eye coordinations in modern cricket. Like, his ability to see the ball and meet it cleanly is ridiculous. But he's going to go out court mid-off, mid-on so often, and he has already in his life so often. But then against England, and virtually only against England, he has this ability to play these incredible innings. So one of the other innings, I won't go through them all, but he had the 112 not out to draw a test, I think, that he played against England as well. Like so many of these great innings that he has played, he's just a remarkably funny, hilarious, brilliant cricketer to watch. So frustrating, but every good way. And those shots you talk about, that's Jermaine Blackwood, you know, in a nutshell.
Jermaine Blackwood in a nutshell.
I was looking at his innings list. I mean, his average is low 30s or 30. But it's not actually that bad a record. And it seems to me like he scored those 240s against England at Headingley. He'd been playing quite consistently from 2014 to 2017. Then he failed at Lords, failed against Afghanistan, I think. That was it. Didn't see him again for 2 years.
He's been dropped 6 times, I think, in his career, which is a phenomenal record. That's like, and another player that had that was Shaan Masood, who also, it's very hard to get used to it when you think you're no matter what you do, you're going to be out next test. You know, there are certain players that suits. He averages, 55 against England, I think, unless I'm missing the, no, 55 against England. Whereas he does not average that much against most other teams. The problem with someone like Blackwood is the same thing that you have with a lot of these kind of batsmen, which is if you go out caught at slip a lot, and if you go out LBW a lot, everyone goes, wow, you just get one of those balls. If you go out caught specifically at mid-off a lot, it just gives the selectors another chance. Whereas I always go with the Virun Desaiwag thing. Virun Desaiwag would always say, it doesn't matter if I'm caught at second slip or at deep point, I've been caught. And I think that with Blackwood, it's a tough one. He's like there and thereabouts when it comes to that record. Because there are a lot of guys in the West Indies who can probably average between 30 and 35. I think we have to be honest with that. And because of that, if he was averaging just over 35, I think he'd be safe. But he's just in that period where, just in that gap where they can go, we can find someone else to do this. And they're probably right. Whether they can find someone else as talented as him with the upside of him, well, I'd say no, because they haven't.
Well, he probably wouldn't be playing if Hetmyer and Bravo had made the trip over here. So
He wouldn't have been in my team. Now, my team would be completely different because Cornwall would have come in for him. Dowrich and Holder would have moved up the order. That would have meant an extra spinner, and Cornwall might have taken a couple of wickets, and maybe they didn't have to chase 200, so they wouldn't have needed him. You know, there's a lot of hypotheticals in that. But he would not have been in my team, even of the players that they have here. So, you know, it's all credit to him for taking that opportunity and doing everything he could with it.
Ball of the day.
Hard to go past Jofra Archer, almost killing someone, isn't it? I mean, Jofra bowled some incredible balls. Him and Wood, I thought, bowled very well at times, but the difference in the skill level between him and Wood, I think, was maybe a bit more on show today. Yeah, and also bowled a longer spell than England probably want him to bowl anymore. But to be fair, also, Ben Stokes bowled an incredible ball to get rid of Dowrich as well, didn't he? You know, I thought England, outside of Best, I thought they all bowled pretty well. It's just that 200 on a flat pitch is a lot needs to go your way. And sadly, as we have discussed, a lot did not go their way.
Yeah, sometimes with Archer in his very young career, I've kind of wondered what he's trying to do. It's almost like with Anderson, you know how he's trying to get an opponent out with his art of swing bowling. Stokes as well, you know, he bowls at a certain time of the innings, exponent of reverse swing, yada yada. Stuart Broad, of course, now against left-handers specifically, maybe bowls a touch fuller these days as well. With Archer, you know, he's so new to his career. And it's almost like he's got too many tricks, I suppose. And at times I've kind of wondered what his stock delivery is or how he's trying to work out and get out a batsman. But today, with the new ball, I thought he was just sumptuous. I mean, the LBW for Brooks, even if you had 10 reviews to you, you wouldn't have tried to review that. You know, set him up perfectly. Brathwaite as well. And then, of course, he came back again and, you know, he made a difference. I just thought he used quality at times today.
I think when you talked about the tools, I think you have to understand this happens to batsmen a lot. You see someone like Michael Clarke come into Test cricket and he can basically play every shot. and you think, oh, what an incredible talent. But actually, there's a point where that doesn't help, that you can play every shot. In some ways, it's easier to be Steve Waugh, or Steve Waugh, to be fair, was a player who did that on purpose. But Jason Holder talked about this with his own bowling earlier in the test, of just going back and watching McGrath, learning a little bit from Anderson and a little bit from McGrath, of just being like, okay, if they know I have the in-swinger, I don't need to show them the in-swinger. I need to do it. I need to bowl the outswinger six balls in a row, and then the outswinger six balls in a row, and then the outswinger six balls in a row. Then the in-swinger is far more important. I think you've seen that with Jofra. When you can bowl 90 miles an hour, when you can bounce people out, when you can bowl knuckle balls, when you can seam the ball around, when you can sometimes swing the ball around, what an incredible package that is. And it's going to, you know, perhaps he needs to do what something a little bit like Sean Pollock. Now, Sean Pollock did it because his body sort of gave way. But Sean Pollock pulled himself back and became a very stock standard bowler. Whereas early in Pollock's career, almost every ball he could do a different thing at 90 miles an hour. I think, you know, Jofra might eventually become that kind of bowler. But that, you know, the ability to do that is phenomenal.
Lol of the day.
Have you got a lol of the day, Jared? I suppose as an Australian, the whole day was a lol watching England lose.
It was quite funny. No, I mean, I think it has to be Campbell going off, doesn't it, with the foot injury. Just because they had started okay, you know, and it was quite early on, but you're thinking, if Campbell gets a couple of way here and Brathwaite bats deep, suddenly Campbell's gone, Brathwaite's gone, and there's this sort of the hilarious nature of that. Although, looking back on it, it must be Ben Stokes falling over, trying to take a catch where, had he stood still, it would have hit him in the throat. maybe it's that. I don't know. There's something about Campbell going off the field with a sore foot. Like, I'm not saying he's soft or anything, but just that it wasn't broken and he could come back and bat fine later on. There's something quite funny about that, and that they didn't need him. Now, I'm going back. It's Stokes, John. It's definitely Stokes.
Well, I wrote down Campbell as well, because, you know, I wasn't sure what had happened to him, but essentially, you know, he'd been pinned on the big toe by a 91 mile an hour Yorker, first ball of the innings. Three overs later, he goes off. But what made me laugh, and I suppose, was the fact that the medic tried to sort the problem out by using a plaster.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was hilarious, because there was no blood. It hadn't split anything. Essentially, he's probably broken his toe and he's hobbling off, and this plaster's still attached to his toe, and it's kind of like flapping in the breeze. And I was just thinking, of all the things to try and cure a broken toe from a 90 mile an hour Yorker, I don't think a plaster's going to cut it.
Anodyne press conference moment of the day.
England standing captain Ben Stokes spoke following the game. Funnily enough, was a little bit downbeat for Anodyne press conference moment of the day.
We know we've got two games left, and you know, we're going to set a target of winning this series 2-1, because, you know, we don't want to draw series, we want to win series. So we know what we've got to do, which is to win the next two games.
What is going to happen tomorrow?
Well, I don't know about you, Jared, but tomorrow I'm probably going to have to look after the kids, because I have not looked after the kids at all, apart from a few hours in the morning for the last 5 days. What's going to happen to you tomorrow?
I was literally, during that last session, trying to set up Minecraft for the boys so they could both play against each other on two different iPads at the same time, which I'm still not sure I did. What will I be doing is tomorrow? The same thing, but with schoolwork.
The selectors and the coach, well, so Chris Silverwood, Ed Smith, and I imagine Joe Root is going to come back into the bubble. They've got a few decisions to make. Joe Root will, of course, come back into the side. Almost certainly Joe Denley will make way. But decisions, I suppose, have got to be made about the makeup of the team. Does Stuart Broad come in for, I assume, Mark Wood? Does Ben Foulkes come in for Joss Butler? Yeah, few decisions. That's what's going to happen tomorrow. They're going to decide upon those two or three decisions, I guess.
Yeah. And you know, West Indies are in a really good place, but it'd be interesting to see how Shannon Gabriel pulls up. I mean, he hasn't been fit ever in his life. He's too big to bowl fast, essentially. He's had to bowl in this game, coming in under an injured cloud. He seemed to spend almost as much time stretching as Jason Gillespie used to do. hopefully for the West Indies that he can play. But they do have Chimar Roach available to them, who's an incredible young talent. But I'm not sure you want him and Alzari Joseph, who are both sort of learning their way. They want the senior guys. And also Gabriel gives them something that they don't quite have, which is just raw, unadulterated power bowling.
Yeah.
So few of us have that.
Speak for yourself. Yeah, actually, we didn't even really mention Gabriel, considering he took 5 for today. We're not all 5 today, but, you know, that would have been really frustrating. You were talking yesterday about West Indies would have struggled to chase 220. Certainly, you don't want people hanging around. He proved to be the difference again. You know, he took 4 wickets in first innings as well, overshadowed by Holder. He took big wickets against England last year as well. When you consider he wasn't in the initial squad because there was a few doubts about his fitness, yeah, his participation has to come under doubt. Is O'Shane Thomas in the squad? Maybe they could bring him in as well. That's a possibility. Do you expect, though, if he pulls up okay, West Indies to go in unchanged? And England to go in with 2 changes, Broad for Wood and Root for Denley.
Yeah, that all makes sense. The only thing I suppose it depends a little bit on the wicket, doesn't it? So they might say to Joseph, it's a bit unfair on him, but they might say to Joseph, we'll sit you out and we'll bring in O'Shane Thomas if it's going to be a very fast wicket and they think O'Shane is fit enough. And the other option is, I mean, Old Trafford's got quite a good reputation for spin. So Rakeem Cornwall is a possibility there. But realistically, I would say that there's no reason to make... If Gabriel is fully fit, I think they go in with the exact same team again. Roston Chase bowled well enough. He's obviously not the bowler that Rakeem Cornwall is, but he bowled well enough in this test. And for whatever reason, England batsmen do not seem to understand him. So let's keep going with that, I would say, for the West Indies. And I think that it'd be a very interesting choice to drop Butler for folks at this point, but I could be wrong.
No, I agree with you. I think Butler will get another opportunity. Jared, well, you won't be dropped for the next following on. Well, unless there's an early delivery, but we look forward to speaking to you on Thursday. Cricket Collective is back on Tuesday, and it will be a review of the first test match and a preview of the second. Andrew McKenna and Steve Harmison. That's on at 10 p.m. on TalkSport 2, but available on the following on podcast channel. So make sure you take a listen to that. And as I say, Jared and I will be back after day one of the second test match at Old Trafford, with England seeking a win to get them back in the series. West Indies win that one, and they'll go back-to-back, and they'll win their first series in England this century, I think. Either way, thanks for listening to the Following On podcast on Acast, Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And be back on Tuesday with the Cricket Collective.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.